Hello and welcome to Protecting Gaia's Oasis Global Summit, where we gather for powerful conversations with diverse and visionary collective of speakers who will guide us to receive from Gaia's wisdom well and to renew ourselves in her healing waters so that we may align towards collective evolution with our planet. My name is Maya Zakharov, and I'm your host and creator of Protecting Gaia's Oasis. And I want to welcome you all into the sacred space and really just to thank you for taking your time to be here with us. Today, I am deeply honored to be here with Tanishka, the Moon Woman. Welcome, Tanishka.
Oh, bless you. Thank you, Maya. It's lovely to be here.
Yeah, so Tanishka, let me, I'll read your bio as a way of introduction. Tanishka is best known as Facebook's Moon Woman with 500,000 followers of her daily guidance. She's passionate about creating social sustainability through teaching people how to understand and align with the facts of natural cycles. An author of 6 books, she has taught ancient wisdom traditions and practices for more than 2 decades. As a leader in the global Red Tent movement, she has trained women in 44 countries to facilitate Red Tent women's circles as a community building initiative to support women during their most challenging time of the month. In addition to being a popular keynote speaker at conferences, summits, and festivals online and worldwide, her articles and interviews have been featured in leading women's magazines and health publications in print and online. She also conducts online courses, speaking tours, and retreats. Her book, Goddess Wisdom Made Easy, published by Hay House in conjunction with online course, has been translated into French, Chinese, Turkish, and Slovenian. She's now initiating men into the ancient rites of cyclic wisdom that were once part of the Grail. In 2022, she released her latest book, The Grail, that decodes the greatest mystery of all time to awaken the hero through the mystic initiation when the world needs him the most. And so Tanishka's topic for today is the Holy Grail, the mystic tradition that holds the key to healing the land and her people. So let's find out what is the Holy Grail.
Okay. Well, let's first distinguish the Grail from the Holy Grail, because the Grail was a very comprehensive religion of love, which the Roman Empire outlawed. And the Grail refers to the wisdom of the cycles. So the ancients didn't believe any body ruled us, that we were ruled by the power of the earth cycles and the cycles of the cosmos. So natural law, universal law. And this awareness humbled them and enabled them to be true custodians of the earth and mature with the seasons. So it consisted of rites of passage, not just to become a man or a woman, but ongoing rites of passage that would help midwife people through change. So for women, that was every month in the Moon Lodge. For men, it was once a year, because men are governed by the solar polarity, women are governed by the lunar. So the Holy Grail was a 9-day rite of passage that the men did over the darkest time of midwinter, the winter solstice, and they would be facilitated by a Magdalene, a high priestess who taught the Grail mysteries, which was the wisdom of the cycles. And it assisted men to experience an annual psychological or ego death and soul rebirth. And men, the first time they attended the Holy Grail rites, would make vows to serve the earth. And this is where we get, you know, the origins of the knighting ceremony, which was appropriated by the empire, which initially was the Roman Empire, and then it was rebranded to, you know, where it was the British Empire, or, you know, but it's still just the one empiric consciousness. So basically the Grail is the key to us reclaiming the earth as a sacred sovereign being, and in that our own sacred sovereign identity, to individuate from the empire which has enslaved the people through the distortion of the Grail rites, which were used as a foundation to create the cult of Rome, which was, you know, the cult of Christianity, or, you know, Catholicism. So Yeshua, he was, who people might know as Jesus, the Greeks renamed him Jesus, he was persecuted for disseminating the Grail, trying to keep it alive, knowing how important it was.
Yeah, wonderful. Thank you. Yeah. So we're talking about the Grail and the Holy Grail.
Yeah, so the Holy Grail was one rite of passage that was a part of the Grail wisdom tradition. So there were many rites of passage. You know, for instance, men would go through the descent of Orpheus, which was a journey that would start around the autumn equinox, the time of the fall, the descent, when our shadow looms larger because the solar light weakens, and as the energy wanes, the shadow rises, just like a child gets cranky and acts out when they're tired. When the light on the planet diminishes, the darker force is stronger, okay? And the descent of Orpheus was, you know, essentially men meeting the seven masculine archetypes, the psychological aspects, or seven faces of the god within. And for women, the equivalent was the descent of Ishtar, and these date right back to Sumeria. So, you know, without these ancient rites, we lack a strong sense of identity, of really knowing who we are as a soul, because the soul is both feminine and masculine. It's both light and dark. So without these initiation pathways to piece together our psyche, you might be familiar with the myth of Isis and Osiris, and she helps to remember him, to piece together his aspects. This is the role of the feminine, of the priestess women, you know, to assist men back to wholeness. And when we don't have these mystic initiations to midwife the soul to become cohesive and whole, we live in a culture that is ego dominant, ruled by the 10% rational mind. And that's when the dark rules, you know, like the saying, the road to hell is paved with good intentions. We try to do everything in the name of progress and be more advanced. But if we're not governed by loving wisdom, which is what the cyclic rites of the Grail help us to develop, to become a man for all seasons or a woman for all seasons, we don't mature. We remain stunted emotionally and psychologically. So that's kind of the elephant in the room, that the root cause of our problem is we're immature as a species. So we then hand our autonomy, our personal power, over to a governing body like a parent, whether that's the church, whether that's the government, which are in fact, you know, corporations masquerading as governments, or whether that's, you know, even your boss. But it's not, you know, we've lost the mystic rites of passage. For instance, the descent of Ishtar and the descent of Orpheus, those journeys awaken the inner serpent of light, which is why the Egyptians would wear, I'm just trying to pull back so you can see my best interpretation of a cobra there. Oh, you've got a papyrus. Lovely. So in the ancient world, you would not have worldly power unless you had raised your consciousness, your spiritual power, and therefore could be responsible with worldly power. So without these rites of passage, we have tyrants ruling, people that are only pursuing self-interests. In fact, they're pursuing power, which is what the ego, the immature being, pursues as a substitute for love, because they don't believe love is possible, right? And without initiation, we have this clambering for power, you know? So the pyramid of power, the hierarchy that we have on our planet, that is the structure that is corrosive, that is, basically enslaving and killing the land and her people. And the Grail taught that man and the land are one, which is why men would take vows to wed themselves to the earth, whereas women were revered as fractals of Gaia, as vessels of the earth. So, you know, a man had to seek the dragon. He had to seek the dragon woman, the woman who was connected to the dragon lines, the ley lines of the earth, to be considered fit for marriage. Yeah. He would have to learn about the cycles of a woman. You know, a honeymoon was going away for 28 days, which is a full lunar cycle, so he could see all the faces of his bride. So without cyclic initiation, there is a fear of the feminine, which is a fear of change and a fear of the unknown, the feminine principle. So that is why we see the compulsive, insatiable need to try and dominate nature, dominate women, and for men to try and dominate the feminine traits and qualities in themselves. It's where, you know, this misogyny, which is internalized in all of us that are conditioned within a patriarchal culture, and that has been the case for the last 2,000 years since Rome. Patriarchy is not where the men are ruling. Patriarchy is where the values of the masculine, productivity, status, power, wealth, are elevated, and the traits and qualities of the feminine are misunderstood, misrepresented, distorted, and therefore feared. And because the feminine is about change, yeah, she is death and renewal, the sacred spiral, yeah, the sacred cycle, the wheel of life. If men aren't initiated into the wheel of life, they fear the feminine and unconsciously try to destroy her in order to prove their power and their worth. So this isn't to blame men. You know, we have just as many women that are operating out of the shadow masculine in their own psyche, because we're all comprised of masculine and feminine, that, you know, are a force of destruction to themselves, to their partners, to their children, to the earth, and not even aware of it. You know, you don't know what you don't know. So, you know, the Grail was prophesied to return at this time, at the 11th hour, the Aquarius age being the 11th sign. And this is the cupbearer. The cup is the Grail, the sacred cup, which, you know, we are here to become the living embodiment of the Grail, the vessel for being a conduit for anchoring heaven and earth. But that means transcending the notion that the laws of man are greater than the laws of the universe, right?
Right. So the cupbearer as the age of Aquarius. Aquarius is the cupbearer. That's what you're talking
absolutely.
About.
Absolutely. Because it is during the age of Aquarius, the 2,000-year astrological age, and its opposite, the age of Leo, that our solar system enters into the photon belt. So the band of light, the photons, yeah, which is the force, you know, it is the God force, right? So when we are in that age of light, our consciousness expands, and we're able to experience levitation, bilocation, telepathy, instantaneous manifestation, all of that. And we're on the precipice of that right now. currently we are experiencing Armageddon, which simply means, you know, the opposition of opposing forces, the war of duality. And that's happening within us. Yeah, everything that's happening out there is simply a mirror of what's happening within us. And we know that we're getting close to our quantum shift into the new part of the galaxy, because that war is intensifying internally and externally, yeah? Mm-hmm. And that it Armageddon precedes the apocalypse, which comes from the term apocalypsis, which means divine intervention, yeah? The unveiling of truth. So, you know, revelations comes from the Latin revelatio, meaning, you know, the revelations of truth. So, you know, it is important that we remember, as bad as things feel and look right now, with the group mind contracted in fear, the density, the abuses of power that are coming to light, it's all a sign, like the darkest before the dawn, that we're almost there. We just got to hang on to the ride and do as much processing of past trauma, you know, of questioning everything we thought was true, our beliefs that we thought defined us, mm-hmm. and staying curious and doing as much self-care as we can to honor the temple that houses our soul. And you know, we all put our hands up to be here at this time. It's like Gaia put out a call throughout all space and time, and we are the ones who responded. You know, she said we need as many sentinels here to hold the light for that transition phase to midwife us through the darkest before the dawn. So for those that feel like they're soul weary and want to go home, and my God, I've been there. In fact, as we're filming this, you know, we just spoke about this. I'm in a flood disaster zone. The streets here in Byron Bay, Australia, we woke up to them. It looks like Venice. It's a river. And it's geoengineering, you know, the local council has signed up to be part of the smart cities network. So they're clearing the old to try and introduce their, you know, technocracy, their super smart city, you know, that's all part of Agenda 21, New Green Deal, Agenda 30, it's all one and the same, but it's, you know, the fourth industrial revolution, i.e. the Fourth Reich, the New World Order. But all of their machinations are just showing us how scared they are of the inevitable, which is we've outgrown them. Yeah, our consciousness has superseded, you know, being like children that don't question, that don't think for ourselves, that blindly comply and obey, you know, thinking that father knows best in the fatherland that is the Roman Empire, because it never stopped being the Roman Empire. And in my latest book, The Grail, I show the emblems of the Roman Empire, the Nazis, and the United Nations. And we see the same wreath of victory. And we see the eagle atop both the Roman Empire and the Nazi emblem. And these are literally the only three entities that have tried to assert world domination in the last astrological age. And it's all one and the same, you know, empire. And it's why Avatar and Star Wars spoke to us, mm-hmm. you know, because it was speaking what is playing out on the inner realms, this galactic war.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Thank you for bringing that in perspective. I think also it's with so many wars and so much destabilization all over the globe, you can just see like it's playing out over and over and over, and it makes you wonder. It doesn't even seem like it's just the country, like you mentioned. It's the maybe the corporations, or you don't even know whose face. It's not just the country's leader who's behind, you know, the latest invasion. I think there's more, I don't even want to say, maybe nefarious is the right word, that, you know, what is it, the World Bank? I don't know exactly. I don't know what their names or faces are, but it just doesn't seem to be as simple as, like, or as used to be before, you know, the Nazis invaded, or for these reasons. So yeah, now it's, I really hope it's the night or the dark before the dawn.
Right. And it is like when we tune into our heart, yeah, we hear and feel and sense, actually, even though things look crazy, we're okay. Mm-hmm. We've got so much support around us right now, you know, the Pleiadians, the Arcturians, you know, our stellar neighbors are poised, ready to intervene, you know. And I did a free presentation last year for the 11th of the 11th called Shift into the Light, and your listeners might want to check it out. It's on Rumble and YouTube. Interesting. Last time I looked, it was up to, you know, 1,000 views, and then I looked at it to share it with someone on the weekend and it said 69 views, and it's like, okay, they've diddled the numbers down so that people think, oh, there's nothing to see here. Wow. But in that, I speak about this shift into the photon belt and how it is, oh, the rain is starting. It's interesting, this geoengineering, the rain starts like clockwork every night, and it is heavier than any monsoonal rain I've ever experienced living in Bali and North Queensland. It is unnatural, you know. You recognize some, and everyone's speaking about it. It's like, this is not normal, you know, and it's part of them trying to garner support to push through, you know, Agenda 21 in the coming federal election here, you know, on the guise of sustainable development, and that this is part of climate change. But it's you know, the idea that the earth is retaliating, you know, she is being attacked. It's in fact the opposite. Everything's oppositeville. Do you know? It's like, if they're saying, look over here, you can guarantee the answer is to be found over there. What don't they want us to see? You know? So this is a time of really developing intuition and just feeling, because truth is felt, the body doesn't lie, and we feel what is resonant and what doesn't resonate, you know. So those who are still solar plexus dominant, so still mind dominant, and this is those who, I suppose, worship academia, thinking if an expert tells them, particularly in a white coat, then it's true, rather than attuning to their own knowing, you know. So this is a time of discernment, of really exercising our own ability to, through gnosis, yeah, know what is true, and to dare to speak what we know to be true, you know. So really attuning more and more to the inner self, being inner directed, rather than what am I being told to think, what am I being told to do, you know, and taking our cues from the external, which is what we do when we're ego dominant or mind dominant. It's like, well, what will they think if I say this, and what will they do? And it diminishes our light, you know, whereas when we take our cues from, oh, what am I sensing to do in this moment? You know, we're getting our cues from the quantum field of infinite intelligence, which we all have equal access to. And that is a benevolent force that only wants the best for us. So if we just pause and always tune in and go, what do I feel to do? We'll always navigate our way through the deception and the chaos, you know, that is being used to confuse and, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So is that like part of the grail also, like to connect to yourself and a way to like heal yourself and the land?
Oh, well, so yes is the short answer. I mean, the soul is the feminine part of all of us. Yeah, the inner self. And that's because the inner is the dark, the unseen, yeah? And whereas the masculine is what's out there, what we can touch, taste, feel, smell, you know, perceive through the five earthly senses, whereas the feminine is what we perceive through the upper senses, the subtle senses, through our clairvoyance, clairaudience, intuition, clairsentience, precognition. So we are having to become superhuman right now to develop these upper gifts in order to navigate our way through. And yes, the Grail teaches men and women how to develop their feminine side, which is not, you know, how to keep house. You know, when we look at the feminine side through patriarchy, it's like, oh, yes, well, that's whether or not you can vacuum and cook a meal. No, the feminine is the mystic, yeah? And the mystic is what is most feared by those that are running an empiric mindset, yeah, seeking power rather than love. And might I add that without wisdom, there can be no love. And so the wisdom of the mystics, which are both men and women, but those who have developed the soul, which is the ability to go within and be receptive, to be the vessel, they are able to better guide themselves and also be a guide for others. So in the ancient world, you know, I mentioned before the Magdalens, you know, Mari was probably the most well-known Magdalene, but there were many Magdalens and they were the keepers of the Grail. And the reason for that is women cycle every month. So we distill the wisdom of that descent, of the humbling of seeing our shadow, feeling our vulnerability, questioning our beliefs, and having a meltdown and then being reborn from the baptism of our tears every month. And through menstruation as a shamanic practice in the moon lodge, in the red tent, we become more and more receptive as a vessel for divine wisdom. And so this is why the Magdalens would then act as midwives to the whole community. The word Magdalene was a title. It meant watchtower. So they would watch over the flock. That's where that was appropriated by the Romans to, you know, cast Yeshua as a shepherd. But, yeah, so I can't even remember the question. So I hope, I don't even know if I've answered it. You might want to jog my memory.
Yeah, yeah. How does the Grail help to heal us and the land?
Good question. So when we see ourselves as part of the land, indivisible from the land, we understand that the seasons of Mother Nature, of Gaia, is our teacher, and that we humble our ego to learn at each one of those vortices, like the solstices, the equinoxes, and the cross quarter festivals. Those are 3-day powerful windows for transformation that bring up from the subconscious what needs to be healed, what is unhealed in us. And so in the ancient world, as part of the Grail rites, they would gather, they would see a reenactment of a myth, a ritual play that was enacted by priests and priestesses wearing masks. They would drink kaikion, which was a ritual drink to open up the third eye for visioning, similar to mugwort, you know. Mm-hmm. And the gods would speak through them and they would receive epiphanies watching the mythos of that seasonal gate. This was what was appropriated into the mystery plays of Christianity. So rather than watching rituals get enacted out there by men wearing dresses, the clergy, they were actively part of the rituals. Even the prisoners were released so that they could be part of these sacred rites, because they understood how important it was that everyone mature through the humbling of their ego. So rather than just locking people away and throwing away the key, nobody was considered lost. You know, it was about the journey to mature and become wise. And the more aware people are, the more their conscience will rule them. A child knows right from wrong. We are all capable of being self-governing. Mm-hmm. And that's where we're headed in this Aquarian age, not having over-regulation, which we see in the West, where patriarchy is most pronounced, you know.
Right. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you for that explanation. It is a very interesting point that they released the prisoners just like as knowing that they might need the rites of passage maybe more than the average person to go through.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So where do we find out more information about the Grail?
Well, I've just finished a book about it, which is kind of 25 years of channeling, visions, research, experience doing pilgrimages, and you know, it's a big distillation, but it's written in a way that is simple. You know, a friend of mine that teaches men's business, he's a carpenter, and he said, I don't read, but I can't put this book down, you know. So that for me is a really great compliment. And I'm also getting a lot of feedback from men in particular, because this book is very much about empowering the hero to awaken the sacred masculine on the planet, you know. And it calls out the fact that patriarchy has disempowered the collective masculine. Yeah, that the sacred warrior was reduced to a pawn, whether that's a corporate slave in the modern world or a foot soldier in the Roman Empire. And so it's important for our men to, you know, see the degree to which they've been programmed to pursue power over love. You know, men in Rome had to take vows to serve Rome over their own duty to their families, to their own heart, to love. So we're still living the legacy of that. So I've also, I facilitate people through the Grail practices. So that includes, you've probably heard of the Hero's Journey, which Joseph Campbell made, you know, accessible to modern audiences. But what was missed is that it actually aligns with the solar wheel. So we bring the mythos to life for men to transcend their saboteur, okay, when they journey, the hero's journey, in alignment with the sun moving through the zodiac wheel. And that's a practice that I lead men through, and also the descent of Orpheus, which is, you know, reclaiming the full expression of the male psyche. And I'm yet to facilitate men through the 9-day Holy Grail rite of passage, but I'm hoping the book will create the demand for that. Yeah.
Yeah, I hope so, because we do need the masculine, because I've heard, of course, some women say like, oh, it's the divine femininity that needs to rise, and kind of the masculine is left behind. But maybe the divine femininity in, as you were saying before, in every individual, in women and men. And I personally, you know, of course, have encountered in my life a lot of the toxic masculinity, but still there's also been so much benevolence from men in my life, professionally and personally, that, you know, helped me grow, that I don't think it's right or kind of like fair just to focus on the feminine and leave the masculine behind. And it's interesting how you brought out the fact that like the essence of every man is really the hero. And if that's awakened, then.
Yeah. And what we have currently is men in stasis watching Marvel hero, superhero. You know, they're taught that unless they can save the world alone, that they can't, they're useless, you know, unless they're superhuman, you know. And so a lot of them are just caught in the fantasy of watching Marvel franchises rather than awakening the hero when we find ourselves in the greatest crisis of our experience as a shared humanity. But I do just want to quickly speak to your question about how the Grail can heal the land, because I don't think I've really addressed it. And that is, one of the Grail parables is the Fisher King. And it speaks of the wounded king. It opens with, you know, there was once a land and the cattle were sick and the crops were dying and the women were weeping. And, you know, and it was the inspiration for T.S. Eliot's poem, The Wasteland. And it says, all of this is because the king is wounded. So here we find ourselves today in a world that is becoming a wasteland with the extinction of species and the breakdown of the family unit and, you know, all of it, the pollution. But the thing we've overlooked is the king is sick and his wound is in his groin, which suggests his male power, which is why so many men are addicted to pornography, because they're literally trying to compensate and boost their sense of virility, their male power, with fantasies of dominating the feminine, whether that's feminine dominant men and homoerotic porn, or whether that's in male-female human sexuality. So when our men are able to find authentic inner power, which only comes through healing the feminine within them, healing the shame they feel about their vulnerability, their psychic perceptions, their sensitivities, all the things that they've been taught are unmasculine and unacceptable and a sign of weakness, then they will heal the wound. And this is why men would seek the wisdom of the Grail, the sacred feminine, in order to heal. And with 2,000 years of the sacred feminine being suppressed and feared, made out to be evil, we see the end result is male suicide rates are off the charts. Men are being blamed for patriarchy rather than understanding men have suffered equally, but their suffering is hidden. For women, it's easy to see how we've suffered in patriarchy, okay, because the feminine is overt, the oppression of women has been overt. But men often in behind closed doors, the women often rules the roost at home, you know, because the men second guess themselves and they don't want to be, you know, like their father, perhaps, you know, the man that they saw that was dominating of the masculine, and they throw the baby out with the bathwater. They throw out their masculinity and they become impotent, which is why we are seeing Viagra sales off the chart. They are impotent to act. They are impotent to take responsibility for their own healing and well-being and self-care. Mm-hmm. So if we cannot be personally sustainable, we cannot be socially sustainable. Mm. We can't create healthy relationships. We can't be good partners, good parents. And if we can't do that, of course, we can't even look after a planet. We can't even keep a pot plant alive, let alone the Amazon. So this focus on we've got to save the environment, we're forgetting what's most important in that. Us, we need to be functioning well, not operating out of guilt and self-flagellation oh, I'm to blame, climate change, I'll do whatever you tell me to do, this false narrative, which I know is controversial.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think I totally agree. So like on the, how can we reinstate or bring back the grail on the global scale?
First of all, by understanding it, there's been so much misrepresentation of the feminine. Yeah, the feminine is not, you know, shadow Aphrodite, for instance, you know, Instagram influencers, you know, look at me, I'm so gorgeous, tell me I'm lovely, validate my ego. That is not the feminine. That's not the true feminine. Yeah, just like the masculine, there are seven facets of the feminine because the diamond blueprint of the soul is multifaceted. So again, it's about initiation into understanding these different facets. I speak about the seven facets of the feminine and masculine psyche in my book Sacred Union. That's an in-depth one.
I wanted to show Tanishka's book with the seven feminines. Like I had it, I read it a long time ago, and it's wonderful. So I'm sure the grail is really the culmination of all your work over all these years, as you mentioned.
Yeah, and it's an easy read. I mean, even to the point where the type is very big, you know, because I'm now 51 and it's kind of like, yeah, appreciate having big read, like big type. So, you know, I wanted it to be an easy read. Nobody owes me persevering with something if it's not enjoyable to read, you know. I want to have a conversation with my readers. So honestly, I'm not just trying to push my book. I've labored in birthing it so that it can educate people as to what the true grail was, because the grail has been so misrepresented. You know, it was appropriated to mean the blood of Christ collected on the cross. Other people claim that it's a stone that fell from the sky, you know, the philosopher's stone. Others claim that it's the bloodlines of Jesus and Mary. You know, there's been so much misinformation that has veiled it because it is so potent. And it's also why the Lion King struck us here. Yeah, it's like, oh, yes, the circle of life. I can't know my place, my purpose, unless I'm initiated into the great wheel, the circles within the circles, the lunar wisdom of the lunar cycle, the solar wisdom of the solar cycle, the seasonal cycle, the planetary transits, which initiate us through our life stages. There's wheels upon wheels upon wheels. So we've been taught by the cult of Rome, this academia, that exoteric science which proves that which is physical is the unquestionable truth, whereas esoteric science, the sciences of the unseen realm or the quantum field, that is woo-woo, that's dismissed, yeah, as make-believe, as fantasy. But great scientists like Carl Sagan, like Einstein, equally honored both esoteric and exoteric science. And if we are to be whole, feminine, masculine, you know, operating out of our subtle senses and our earthly senses, we need to seek out the wisdom of both exoteric and esoteric science.
Right, yeah. Absolutely. And there's so, I think now it seems to be like it's more allowable to go into the esoteric science, and there's more validation of how it brings things together, even in the exoteric world as well. So,
absolutely, because that's what makes sense of the chaos. And we are experiencing more chaos than we've known, and people are cracking up under the pressure because the ego, the mind, wants to create structure and control. And when everything is in a state of flux, you know, it is the guidance of those who have sought the mysteries, mm-hmm. yeah, the grail, that are able to act as a beacon, as a way shower to help people be the light in the darkness.
Yeah. So, well, we're coming close to our time. Is there anything else that, like, you'd like to share with us, or any piece of wisdom you'd like to leave us with?
Let me ask. That whatever we do for ourselves, we do for the collective. So if you are feeling overwhelmed, by the state of the world, feeling you're not doing enough, okay, feeling distressed by the information that's currently coming in at all sides, know that we are all part of the problem and part of the solution. Everything's interconnected, as you know, you well know. And that if you're feeling triggered, if you're feeling fear, then go towards it. Don't go away from it. Numb yourself. Yes, we all love watching Netflix, and there's a time for vegging out. This is a time to show up and do the inner processing of our fears, so that we can transcend being mind dominant and move into the heart. We are being tested. It is a test of faith, which is a test of knowing what is true in our hearts. So, yeah, that's pretty much it, I suppose, as a final message.
Right. I think that's so important. And actually, like what you just spoke about, it was important to me too. And that's why I called the whole summit like Protecting Gaia's Oasis. And I meant within as much as the outside, because I think the war in Ukraine broke out as I was in the midst of creating it. And so many like well-meaning friends and acquaintances like were sending me so much information, and they want to know my take on it and this and that. And that's in the meantime, as I'm trying to process my own things, plus do my work. So the protecting my own inner oasis became very important. I was very strategic with my time, my effort, my energy, even looking or reading a text, like to the point of really, really, I had to organize and reshift how I act and what I give my attention to on the daily basis. So, yeah,
absolutely. And it speaks to the fact that the archetypes that govern the heart are the inner parents. So the more we show up and attune to our feeling function, which is the heart, and go, okay, what am I feeling? So what do I need? The more we start doing that, we calm down the nervous system, because the lower three chakras is base chakra is the 0 to 7-year-old, sacral is the 7 to 14-year-old, solar plexus is the 14 to 21-year-old. And if they don't feel held, if they don't feel like their needs are being met by the more mature, centered part of us, they wig out. They experience anxiety, spiral into depression, need compulsive self-soothing, you know, just like kids and teenagers. So it's about doing whatever practices help us to stay centered. Yeah, how do you greet your day? Yeah, it doesn't matter what the practice is. Yeah, but it's that you have a practice that, before you get on social media and compulsive information, which fries the nervous system, it's like do some yoga, meditate, qigong, go for a beach walk, you know, do some affirmations, do a gratitude diary, self-pleasure, dance. Doesn't matter what the practice is, and you might do a different practice every day, but that you show up for yourself, for your inner self, knowing that you are valuable, your needs are valuable, and then from that place you can serve the collective every day simply by moving through the world from your heart. Yeah, smiling at strangers, letting them know, hey, it's okay. Yeah, or Yeah, just responding rather than reacting, which is what we do when we're operating out of those lower three chakras, the younger self.
Right. Yeah. So super important. And it falls in line in what we're talking about before with one of the speakers is how we center ourselves and then we tap into this collective field consciousness and how everything's really, really connected. And even the magnetic ley lines of the earth are connected with our heart rhythm, like our electric magnetic impulses of the heart. There's a real proven connection, but we can only enter it when we are in a compassionate, like in a heart-centered state, not when we're, like, as you said, consuming social media or reacting. You're not there. And when you do come down and kind of like put your frequency together with the earth, then you can even transfer and receive information. And this, when you do have a responsibility almost, or it happens automatically that you calm the collective field down just by your loving heart frequency.
Absolutely. That's what it is to be a rainbow warrior, a sacred warrior who helps to fulfill that prophecy of the whirling rainbow, all colors and creeds coming together to turn the world back to green. Yeah, that's what we're here to fulfill at this time, not the distorted time track of dystopian AI and transhumanism. You know, this is, we are part of Gaia, and it is our love for ourselves, for brother, sister, for our mother planet that, yeah, will be our guiding light through these dark times. Right. Yeah. So thank you for organizing this, for following your heart's calling.
Oh, are you kidding? Thank you for being a speaker. You bring forth such wisdom. And by the way, I just wanted to mention for our audience that Tanishka has given us a free gift. It's a video presentation about the Grail, and you can find it right below this video and on her speaker's page. So I'm sure it will be potent. And Tanishka, I know I just wanted to ask you for one more thing. Can you please speak into the prophecy about the indigenous prophecy? I think it was the Aborigines, what they believe. Do you know what I'm talking about? About the, like, I think it touches on the maybe being in the photon belt or how we come back to the earth.
I honestly don't know.
You talked about it in one of your videos. It's the fact that how we do come back to the earth, and the fact that if we do go through the photon belt, that we can have the 3 days of light or dark,
depending
on how we're
gonna. Yeah, people have heard the prophecy of the 3 days of darkness. So this is when we are going to move through the outer rim of the photon belt, this huge ring of photon particles, and that to go through, we only need to be in the heart, okay? That's all. That's our entry ticket. And that as we move through the outer rim, we will experience what's described as the twilight zone or the null zone, when everything will look like it's twilight for 24 hours. And then there will be a period of 3 days where we don't even see the sun or the stars. It's completely black. And at that time, people are likely to project onto reality their deepest fears, you know, God is punishing us, it's the end of times, whatever. But our charge, if you will, as midwives of this great rebirth, is to hold the light during that transition phase of the great rebirth, and to gather with our communities around a fire, share food, and know that we are going to awaken to a light-filled world that is better than anything we can even conceive of from where we are right now. So, you know, Drumvalu Melchizedek spoke about how the Mayans that he lived and worked with only built their homes out of natural materials, understanding this time was coming and that anything that is not natural will disappear in an instant. It won't go through into that higher frequency. So the fears we have about plastic bags and all that, you know, it is going to be apocalypsis. Divine intervention is going to kick to the curb all the dystopian, nightmarish illusions that the mind has cast, because they are false. They are not the true trajectory of where we're going. And Gaia knows that. Yeah. So she is calling us home right now, saying, hey, come home to me, come home to the heart. Don't be fooled by the boogeyman. Don't fuel your fears. Yeah, everything is going to be okay. So, yeah, there's, again, in that presentation that I did, Shift into the Light, there was, I can't think of a name, but a hypnotherapist in the States, and so many of her clientele were having the same vision of the future of this. You know, it's almost like a psilocybin trip, everything sort of sparkly and love-filled and light-filled, you know. And the precursor to that event is a huge soul affair event, which is so strong it knocks people around the world to the ground. But that will help shift the frequency from the solar plexus to the heart. And that is anticipated mid-year this year, July this year. So, you know, things are supposedly going to escalate until that shift. So we may see, you know, drama escalate on the world stage. And the most potent thing we can do is hold that vision of where we're headed, not the false time track.
Right. Yeah, thank you. Thank you for sharing that so much. It's wonderful to just to have that vision and to see what, you know, what was predicted and what, how the indigenous populations from different indigenous populations shared like a similar vision. So yeah, thank you for that. And yeah, thank you. Thank you for all your wisdom and for all the stuff you put out. Like Tanishka has so many videos that are free, completely available. I'm actually signed up to her, The Moon Wisdom. It's just every day she writes about which phase of the moon we're in. So that kind of helped me see, you know, on the lunar scape, like where I am and where I'm feeling. So yeah, thank you so much for the work you do in the world. And thank you, of course, for being part of Protecting Gaia's Oasis.
The pleasure, thank you.
Yeah.